This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. أما بعد, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We continue on with the parables from the Sunnah or the prophetic parables, where we have been going through the various parables given by our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and explaining them, explaining these various parables that are found in the books of Hadith. And today we continue on to two other parables. These two parables are once again found in Bukhari and Muslim. They are agreed upon. The first of these parables is regarding the one who pretends, the pretender, the faker, the one who, you know, claims what is not true. He puts on a front. And so this hadith is narrated by Asma radiallahu anha, the daughter of Abu Bakr and the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَعَنْ أَسْمَاءَ أَنَّ إِمْرَأَةً قَالَتْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِنَّ لِي ضَرَّهُ فَهَلْ عَلَيَّ جُنَاحٌ إِن تَشَبَّعْتُ مِنْ زَوْجِي غَيْرُ الَّذِي يُعْطِينِي. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْمُتَشَبِّعُ بِمَا لَمْ يُعْطَ كَلَابِسِ ثَوْبَيْ زُورٍ كَلَابِسِ قَوْلَيْ كَلَابِسِ ثَوْبَيْ زُورٍ. أسماء رضي الله عنها, she says that some lady came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and said, O Messenger of Allah, my husband has another wife. So is it sinful for me to claim that my husband has given to me something that he has actually not given to me? And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who pretends that he has been given something that he has actually not been given is just like the one who wears two fake garments. And so in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warns us of a very dangerous disease that afflicts some people, which is to consider themselves as being something that they are actually not, putting up a front, faking, pretending to have what they don't really have, whether it be something physical, tangible, or whether it be a personal trait, a quality that is within them. And so there are some people who, they make it seem as if they are righteous. They put up a front. They act as if they are righteous, whereas they are not really righteous. Or they act, some people act as if they have a lot of knowledge, whereas they don't have any knowledge. They act as if they are scholars, whereas, you know, they haven't studied anything. They don't have any knowledge. Or certain characteristics, certain good qualities, you know, they put up a front as if they have these good qualities, but the reality is they are just putting up a front. Also, some people, they act as if they have a position of authority. They have a certain status in society. They make it seem like that to others, and the reality is that these people are nobodies in society, or they don't really have that status and that authority in society. Or, as we said, something tangible, like wealth, they make it seem as if they are rich, whereas they are not rich. Or as mentioned in this hadith, they claim that they have been given something, that someone has given them something, whereas they have not been given anything. And so here, Asma, radiallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, she tells us a story that she witnessed before her very own eyes of this woman who came and asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam whether it was right or wrong to put up a front and lie to her co-wife. And we all know, you know, the relationship between co-wives who are in a polygamous marriage. There's a lot of jealousy there. There's a lot of, you know, natural jealousy, natural animosity between them. And so each one wants to have a leverage over the other and wants to be, you know, the more favorable wife of the husband. And so this woman came and she asked this, you know, very honest question. She said, can I do something like this? And her, obviously, you know, a co-wife who wants to do that, the only purpose of her doing that is to tease the other wife. There's no other reason for why she would do that. She wants to tease her. She wants to make it seem as if her husband loves her more. And so on and so forth. And so she asked, can I claim to my co-wife that my husband has given to me something, whereas the reality is that he hasn't given it to me? And so in some narrations, it specifically mentions wealth, mal, that, you know, my husband gave me wealth. Also in other narrations, it mentions that it is a neighbor and not a co-wife. So boasting to, you know, a woman who boasts to her her neighbor that, you know, my husband gives me so much, he gives me this, he gives me that, you know, boasting to her, making her feel that as if, you know, your husband does not do that. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered her by comparing her to one who wears two fake garments. Thawbay zur, someone who wears two garments of falsehood, or two fake garments. So what does that mean exactly? And so we have to understand what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is comparing such a person to. Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, the author of Fath al-Bari, the commentary on Sahih al-Bukhari, he says, the one who wears two fake garments is basically the one who wears clothing that resemble the clothing of the people of Zuhud. Who are the people of Zuhud? The people who have abstained from the dunya. And Zuhud is something that is praiseworthy in the Quran and in the Sunnah. We should be people who abstain from the dunya, abstain from that which will not benefit us in any way in the Akhirah. And so there are people of Zuhud. There are people of Zuhud who, you know, when you look at them, they wear simple clothing. They don't indulge in the luxuries of the dunya. And so when you look at them, you say, this is a person of Zuhud, especially because of their attire, their clothing. And so he says, this is the one, the one who wears two fake garments. He is the one who wears clothing that resembles the people of Zuhud to make it appear as if he is one of them, showing humility, showing abstinence more than what is actually in his heart. So in his heart, he is not a person of Zuhud, but he wears those clothing only to put up a front, to fake it, out of riya, to show off, so that the people will praise him as being a person of Zuhud. Imam an-Nawawi also mentions this meaning, but he added other possible meanings that the scholars of the past have mentioned. And so he mentions that this is one meaning, but another meaning, another potential meaning of this person, the one who wears two-faced garments, is, he says, one who wears two garments that actually belong to somebody else, making it seem as if they belong to him. So these are two garments that he's wearing that don't belong to him, but they actually belong to someone else. He says another possible meaning is that this is a person who wears one shirt, but he adds additional sleeves to the shirt to make it seem as if he is wearing two garments. To make it seem as if he is wearing two shirts. He says another possible meaning is that it is metaphorical and not literally two garments, but rather a liar who says that which actually never happens. So he says a person who wears two-faced garments is basically a person who lies and says that something happened, whereas it didn't actually happen. And another possible meaning, he says, is that this refers to the one who is asked to give a false testimony. And that is known as al-qawl al-zur, the one who is asked to give a false testimony. So what he does is he puts on two garments to make him appear nice. And so when he gives his false testimony, it won't be rejected. Why? Because of how nice his appearance is. You know, the people won't expect a person in such a nice appearance to lie and give a false testimony. So what do we notice about all of these meanings? What we notice about them is they all share something in common, and that is deception. That the one who wears two fake garments is basically the one who deceives people. He puts on a front. He dresses in a way to make it appear as if he is something, whereas he is not. So deception, lying, faking, pretending, and so on and so forth. And the whole reason why two garments are mentioned here in the hadith and not one is because such a person, he lies about himself, what he never received. You know, he claims that he received something, whereas he didn't. So he lies about himself, and he lies about others, that they gave him something that they never gave him. So the lying here and the deception is twofold. He is lying about himself, and he is lying about others, that, you know, they gave him, whereas they never gave him anything. Likewise, the one who gives false testimony, as we said, al-qawl al-zur, the scholars say that he is somebody who wrongs himself, and he does wrong to the one he is testifying against. So it is twofold. And so in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to warn this woman from this sin because of the evil outcome of it. There are evil consequences that will result from putting on a front like this and claiming that your husband gave you something that he didn't. And so what would that do? If it was permissible, then what would that do? If she goes and does that, what will it do? It will cause friction and animosity and enmity between the co-wife and her husband. Between the co-wife and her husband. Just like magic that is intended to separate a husband from his wife. And so, you know, magicians, they have a special magic, black magic, where somebody comes to them and says, "I want you to separate between this husband and his wife. Get rid of the love and the affection between them." And Allah mentions this in Surah Al-Baqarah, or in the long ayah concerning magic, in the story of Suleiman and Harut and Marut. And so the point here is that the Prophet ﷺ warned this woman of this sin because of the evil consequences it would lead to. And so among the lessons that we can learn from this hadith is, first of all, the prohibition and the danger of acting like you are someone you really are not, or to claim that you have something that you really don't, because this is lying, it is deception, and it causes enmity and it causes animosity between the believers. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man ghashshana falaysa minna." Whoever cheats us, whoever deceives us, meaning the believers, then he is not one of us. And so this is a warning to anyone who, deceives the believers in any way, shape, or form. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him this stern warning that if you do that, you are not one of us. Why? Because the believers are not supposed to be like that with one another, but rather they're supposed to be the opposite of that. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that you do not truly believe, you do not have true iman until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. And all of the various ahadith in that regard. The second lesson that we learn from this hadith is that this prohibition in this hadith of claiming to, to have something that you don't, this prohibition is general with regards to all the believers, in all cases, in all kinds of relationships. But it is even more emphasized with respect to relations that will go nasty if someone was to do something like this. Like in the example given in this hadith of co-wives. Co-wives, there's already that, tension between them, and that, natural jealousy is already there. Also, siblings, between siblings and the parents. Also, co-workers, colleagues, and so on and so forth. The third lesson that we learn from this hadith is, and this is taken from this hadith specifically with regards to knowledge. And so it's unfortunate in our times that we are seeing a lot of people who claim to have knowledge of Islam, and they put up a front. They put up a front to make it seem as if they are very knowledgeable, maybe because of their power of speaking, or their power of writing. They're able to write very eloquently and present arguments that are very convincing, and so on and so forth. The point is that people look to them as if they are big scholars of Islam. And these people put up a front and they make it seem like that. And some of them, they even start giving fatawa, whereas they're not qualified to do so. They, whenever there's an opportunity to give an opinion, they give their personal opinion. And so on and so forth. Some people, they're not even, they're not even scholars, or they have not even studied Islam, but perhaps they have other professions. They're doctors, engineers, scientists, and so on and so forth. And you'll find them speaking about matters of the deen to make it seem as if, you know, they're intellectuals and they're scholars, therefore they have the right to speak about these matters of the deen. And so the point here is that all of these people, what they are doing is that they are making it seem as if they have knowledge, whereas the reality is that they don't. And so they are included in this hadith. They are included in this hadith. Why? Because they are not qualified. They don't even have the bare minimum of what qualifies a person to be a scholar of Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has warned us of speaking about his deen without knowledge. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّيَ الْفَوَاحِشِ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ وَالْإِثْمَ وَالْبَغْيَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ وَأَنْ تُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا وَأَنْ تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions all of these things which are haram, open and secret fawahish, indecencies, sinfulness, unjust aggression, to commit shirk, and to attribute to Allah what you do not know, to say about Allah what you have no knowledge. And that includes to say about the deen of Allah what you have no knowledge of. And so Ibn al-Jawzi, he says regarding this ayah, he says this verse is concerning the prohibition of speaking about the deen except with proof and conviction. And the Salaf, our pious predecessors, the scholars, the early scholars of Islam, they would be extremely wary of saying something without knowledge. And there's a famous story of Imam Malik, of how he was once asked 48 questions, answering only 6 of them, and saying about all the other questions, I don't know. La adri, I don't know the answer to these. And yet, Imam Malik was who he was, one of the greatest scholars of Islam. And so this shows us of, you know, this level of humbleness that the true scholars of Islam are supposed to display. That they are not people who feel embarrassed to say, I don't know. You know, it's not a shame to say, I don't know. But these people, if they were to say, I don't know, then the people will think I'm not a scholar. The people will think I have no knowledge. So I'm going to answer every single question. And there's a story of a scholar in the past, or he wasn't really a scholar, but he was one of these fake scholars who was putting up a front. He was pretending to be what he was not. And so they say that every single question that would come to him, he would say, this issue, we have 2 or 3 opinions regarding it. Right? So, you know, he doesn't know anything. He's just making up opinions. Because why? Because he doesn't know the answer. So he's asked questions and he doesn't know the answer. So he says, okay, there are more than one opinion on this. For example, he's asked, is this haram? So he won't say it's haram, but he'll say, you know, one opinion is that it's haram, one opinion is that it's halal. And basically, he wants to make it seem as if he is the scholar of Islam and he has a lot of knowledge. He knows all of these opinions of the scholars. So they asked him, أَفِلَّهِ شَكْ? The question was, is there any doubt about Allah and his existence? So he said, the answer to this is, we have 2 opinions. Subhanallah. And so he was exposed as being a fake, scholar. And so this is the hadith that warns us from being fakers and pretenders and making it seem as if we are something that we are not.